playing with the law. Whom shall he, the prophet Isaiah, teach knowledge? To whom shall he make understand what was heard, a divine revelation? Those who were just weaned from the milk, those who were torn from the breasts? For it is commandment upon commandment, commandment upon commandment, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10. The text we just read belongs to one of the most remarkable parts of Isaiah's prophecies. The prophet was involved in an argument with the leaders of the people, who unfortunately had become just as many deceivers. From Isaiah 28, we get a more than dark picture of these deceivers, also deceivers in a spiritual sense. Instead of being busy in their work, they gave themselves over to revelries. They made the temple into a house of their wild orgies. That in this they made the temple floor dirty by their vomit was already itself an offense to an Old Testament prophet, since at that time of shadows the temple was still considered a holy place, distinguished indeed from secular areas. And it was even more an offense for all times that they neglected the temple service, and over against the service of the temple adopted an attitude that contradicted it. Now the prophet arose to resist the mighty lords. It is even possible that this prophecy was more or less a report of a remarkable hostile dispute between the prophet and them. At least we learn very clearly what the mighty lords had against Isaiah. They asked him if he perhaps thought that they were small children, just weaned of milk, and scarcely removed from the breast of the mother. Does this man, in his far-reaching arrogance, have to tell the official leaders what pure ethics are? They indeed know that themselves as well. Does he perhaps think that only he received oracles from God? But how many prophets did not receive divine revelations, even though they were not all called Isaiah? Here a priest shouted recklessly that he needed no instruction from Isaiah. He himself gave instruction as office-bearer. And there a prophet boasted that he also got oracles. Finally, the whole choir of drunk priests and prophets united themselves in a witty yet hideous reproach that Isaiah actually was only a very unfortunate teacher of ethics. For from his mouth nothing else proceeded but cowardly and molesting morality sermons. Commandment upon commandment, precept upon precept, line upon line, command upon command, today this and tomorrow that. If you read these words which Isaiah put into their mouth in the Hebrew language, you even get the impression that Isaiah, in the choice of his words, imitated the speaking of a man who is really drunk. Thus the Table Brothers bemoaned themselves that Isaiah allowed prophecy to decline into moral lessons. Commandment upon commandment, precept upon precept, today this and tomorrow that. Of course, they are completely right if one is going to count the commandments. Indeed, he who adds up how often Isaiah gave a regulation can in a witty way undo himself of this prophet. Only, he should then also move on. Such a person should also write above Psalm 119. Commandment upon commandment upon commandment, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For this psalm is also full of commandments. Every verse refers to them. And if one has begun to count anyway, why then not also apply the same to the law of the Ten Commandments? Psalm 119 has 176 verses, and thus speaks at least 176 times about the commandments. But the Ten Commandments only add up to 10. However, one can also express the number in percentages, and then you can say that 100% in Psalm 119 and 100% of the law of the Ten Commandments contain commandments. And thus it was also 100% with Isaiah. Indeed, If Isaiah was cast out for his many commandments as a cumbersome morality preacher or casuist, then there is much more to revile. Yet also here one should consider that the question is not if you count well, in order to place over against this an equal number of words of consolation and encouragement. It is not the correct method to establish a statistic of so many percent is law and so many percent is gospel, or so many percent is threat over against so many percent consolation. For where the law is purely preached, the final conclusion is that there is 100% law and also 100% gospel. Doesn't it say above the Ten Commandments as introduction, and also as foundation of the 100% of commands, I am the Lord your God, who delivered you from the land of Egypt? And are all those commandments thus not an administration of the gospel? And does it not say above Psalm 119, very blessed and safe is the upright of way, who walks in the law of the Lord? And are these 176 footsteps on the way of the commandments thus not 176 steps on the way of salvation, of the very blessed salvation? Indeed, he who sees things this way will acknowledge that the contrast between Isaiah and the false priests and prophets in the temple runs differently than the latter said. It is perfectly true. Isaiah gave commandments for the full 100%. Hear what, there what. It is also true that those prophets and priests gave much less. Once in a while they administered the necessary temple service, gave their instruction, and passed on an oracle. But a while later they took a break from their I, as office bearer, their alter ego, and partied like the world. They perceived the contrast between gospel and enjoyment. But Isaiah from his side maintained that his 100% of commandments were just as many expositions of the gospel, namely for everyone whose heart is pure. He who decorates the dead tree of Israel's carnality with texts of commandments, with regulations, and with ordinations of life according to God's will not be able to call that tree back from death to life. His regulations of life are not appropriate for the dead tree. His texts and proverbs have artificially been attached to that tree. But a tree that is alive produces leaves, and the leaves grow in accordance to the law. Because that tree lives out of God, it produces fruit to God. Promise upon promise, commandment upon commandment, blessing upon blessing, rule upon rule, here everything, there everything, and everywhere the unity of law and gospel. For it is impossible that those crafted into Christ by true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness.